This is episode 24, Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, featuring Rue Sword of By the Oceans We Unite.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
Plastic bottle floating in the middle of the ocean, 12 days away from land. That's what sparked the entire mission behind By the Oceans We Unite. One of the marine biologists for the organization is an acquaintance of mine, and I was fascinated when she told me about the work that she was doing. Rose and I met in Bonaire, a Netherlands island in the Caribbean, where Rose was completing her master's in aquaculture and marine resource management. It was great getting to know Rose, and I admired her tenacity to continue her journey in helping research the oceans and the plastic when she moved back to the Netherlands. One of the things that Rose does as part of her work is to take ordinary citizens out on the team's expeditions as they conduct their research on plastic in the ocean. This is just one part of By the Ocean We Unite's work to help reduce and eliminate plastic waste in the ocean. I really like this episode because I think Rose makes some really good points about what we need to do to help reduce plastic and the fact that this man-made problem is something that we can conceivably solve in our lifetime. Without further ado, let's get trash talking. Welcome, Rose, to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about you and what it is that you do.
I'm a marine biologist. I'm finishing my master's. I joined this foundation and we do research into plastic pollution. But most of all, we try to make people more aware of plastic pollution in the ocean. And we do this by taking people sailing with us on the North Sea and the Wadden Sea.
Cool. Awesome. I guess we should like clarify for the audience that you're in the Netherlands and you work out of Amsterdam.
And yes.
That's where the research is being done. And how did you kind of get into this type of research?
Well, I did my studies in biology and I really wanted to try to make a change. But my university back then didn't really give me the opportunity to do this. So I decided to take my master's in Wageningen University in the Netherlands. And they are solution based and focused on how to do research, but also find all the big problems in the world. And for me, those are ecological problems. The reason I joined the fight against plastic pollution is because to me, that is a problem that we can still solve. Something man-made, and it's happening, it's 50 years old. And I feel like we can actually see what's happening and can actually do something about it quite easily.
Yeah.
That's why I'm fighting for it.
Wow, amazing. And how did you end up finding this particular job? Because I remember before when we met in Bonaire, you were doing some research with CIEE.
Yeah, and more into sea turtles and seagrass and all those kinds of things. That's right. When I came home from that experience, I also saw a lot of plastic already on Bonaire. And a friend of mine worked at some sustainable consultant. And I was trying to find some internships. And he said, well, there's these really cool guys and they're sailing and you should really join them. So we went with them for a day and went sailing. Yeah, I was just in love with the way they work and they have a very positive vibe and they really try to help people to do differently, but not really accuse anyone of doing wrong. So that was what really caught my eye and why I really wanted to join.
Where did you kind of get this love and motivation for the environment to begin with?
Well, I was born on an island, so I think that's a big, big thing in why I'm so strongly working for the environment. And I love the oceans. I love the island I come from. It's just really beautiful nature, and there's not a lot of human activity going on in the nature there. So that showed me that we can actually live with nature and just be really, more sustainable and more working with nature and not against nature. And that's, I think that's a factor in my life that made me study biology and marine biology. And from that, I just realized that we were doing a lot of things wrong in the world and I wanted to do something right for a change.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Which island were you born on?
Terschelling. That's a very difficult name for anyone other than a Dutchie, but Terschelling. It's an island in the Waddenzee, so that's on the north side of the Netherlands, and then it's the third island. It's very small.
So cool. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And kind of go back a little bit more, how did you get this particular like career? So you studied biology in your undergraduate, and then you went and did your master's. But what made you choose biology to begin with?
Well, actually, when I finished my high school, I had two things that I really, really loved, and that was art and bugs. And I just saw a lot of people also in my family kind of fail in art, or not really fail, but not being able to pay their rent and livelihood by making their art. So I found it a big risk. And then I thought, yeah, but I really like bugs and the nature and biology. So let's just study that and see what happens. After actually a short while, I found out that I still really like bugs. I love bugs. I'm a big bug nerd. But the research into bugs was like, yeah, it's so extensive and there's so many bugs. And it's more about naming them and finding them. And I found out, well, it sounds really stupid, but I found out that that's like a kind of an old retire job. Like if you're a retired biologist, then you go into bugs. So I kind of let that go. And then I just started looking around like, okay, what can I do? And what can I change? And where can I be active? And then I found out that we don't know that much about the marine environment. Mm-hmm. And we're also already doing a lot with it, without knowing what our consequences are,
sure.
Deep sea and stuff like that. So I felt like, okay, this is an area that's sort of new and we can still change what we're doing. Like we can still maybe help it going on because the agriculture is so extensive and I don't feel like we can actually stop doing that right away. We can modify it, but we can't really stop doing what we're doing. I think in marine biology there's a little bit more room for change. And that's why I was so intrigued in working with the oceans.
So tell us a little bit more about how these trips work. So you guys get on a sailboat and you go out to the ocean and then you grab some plastic and then you guys test the samples. And what are you guys hoping to find?
So it started all with a really big sailing trip all the way up to Norway from the Netherlands. And there they took some samples. Yeah, really cool. It was a 2-week trip. And there they took samples and they put them in jars. And then now I'm researching those. But what we do right now, so we take a lot of different people on board, like scientists, but also people from the media, people from art, just regular people. We take everybody on board and we just put the net out. And what we actually catch is like really small microplastics. So it's not really this big, I don't know, like field of plastic that we show people. And I also get a lot of comments like, oh, but that isn't that much, you know. But then it's only a half an hour trawling with a millimeter sized net. So
wow,
not that long. It's not that much water, which you process. And you can also already find plastics. Like we have two trips of 40 in total that don't contain plastics. And in the rest, we all found plastics.
Wow.
So that's what we do. And then we tell people, we have a whole story, we have a movie, and we tell that to them on board. And also we most of the time end the day with a beach cleanup. And that shows people that the bigger pieces, they like float onto the beach and then they get taken by the waves again and they float on the beach again. So it actually shows the bigger picture more of what happens to the bigger pieces. But yeah, we try to give them a total image of what is happening with the plastics that end up in the ocean.
Sure. That's so cool. Can you explain for people? I'm sure a lot of people kind of understand what's happening with plastics and the microplastics now, but can you just explain the issue a little bit, like why it's so detrimental to the environment and kind of the problem that you're solving for?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, most people, and that's for us in the Netherlands, I hear a lot of people say, like, oh, but I always throw my trash away, and it's getting burned, and it's all worked out well. But still a lot of trash, which you throw into the cities, into the garbage bin, that, like, it blows out by the wind, or it gets taken out by, like, seagulls, and it gets into the river. The rivers lead to the ocean, and it's, like, a really big part. About 70% of all the plastics in the ocean are single-use plastics. So plastic bags, plastic straws, plastic cups, these kinds of things. And the thing is that we think someone will clean it up after us. So we aren't too scared to put it next to the bin when the bin is full or when it blows away. But people are actually not fast enough to clean it, so it actually ends up in the ocean. And when it's in the ocean, it degrades slowly. Or I shouldn't say degrade because it never actually degrades, but it falls apart in small particles. And the thing is that these small particles, they end up in the food chain. So they can stick to little phytoplankton or zooplankton. And then some fish eat the zooplankton and it builds up. And then some other big fish eat smaller fish and then builds up in their stomachs. And then we eat big fish like the tuna or the swordfish. And this way it also ends up in our food chain. So I think that's right now is one of the bigger issues and also the most the biggest issue for research, because we still don't know what it does to our bodies. Like, we can imagine that it won't be good, but we don't know for sure what it does. I think that's a very big problem with the plastics.
Yeah. And have you had a particularly difficult moment on any of these trips or in any of the research that you've done?
Well, I think what I found very difficult was actually before I started this on Bonaire, because I was doing research there into turtles and seagrass with a friend of mine. And we were canoeing through the water and we saw this plastic bag. So we went closer and we wanted to clean it up. But then at the last moment, we thought, wait, maybe it's not a plastic bag. Maybe it's like a jellyfish or something. Like, we started doubting if it was actually a plastic bag or not. And then we went closer and closer. And then at the end, we found out it was a plastic bag. But the fact that I was already doubting if it was a plastic bag or not made me so sad, because I know that turtles eat jellyfish. So I know that if I can't see it and I'm so close to it, then what does a turtle think, you know? Like,
yeah,
the turtle won't see it either and it would just eat it.
Yeah, for sure. How do you stay motivated during these periods? Like, it's a big problem and it's sometimes it feels like it's almost too immense to solve, and there's a lot of people who just don't care, and it's disheartening. So how do you stay inspired to continue your work?
Well, what I really like is that the foundation that I work for is focused on never pointing a finger and always putting out the positive there. And so what one of our bigger things is on Facebook is we try to show the world about what people are doing to change this. So we enlighten certain products or projects that try to change our single-use plastics into objects that we can use multiple times, like a coffee cup that you can bring to work or something like that. And I really get a lot of energy from that. I think it's so nice that people are working so hard to change this. And there's all these intriguing and creative solutions being made. And yeah, that really keeps me on the right path, actually.
Cool. What's one of the coolest solutions that you've seen? Like, something really novel?
I think the Guppy Friend is the really the nicest one I also have now at home. It's a bag for really small mesh size, and you can wash your plastic clothing in it, because what most of the people don't know is that there's a lot of plastics in our clothing, and these fibers, they get loose during washing. So if you put them in the bag, they won't lose the fibers. The fibers don't end up in the ocean.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's a German invention, actually, and it's called the Copy Friend. It's really nice.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'll try to post a link in the show notes so people can access that. And do you have some role models or people that you look up to, like in the research that you do and in your field?
Yeah, sure. Like for me, what I just said, like a lot of people that do the same thing or a similar thing, they're really motivate me and activate me also. So that's really good. For instance, there's these girls in the Netherlands, and they are they just invented the bubble barrier, like a plastic tube in the water on the ground, and it springs out bubbles, and the bubbles lead the plastics to the side of the river where you can take the plastics out.
Oh, wow.
The way they've only been working on this for 2 years, and they were just working so hard, and they're so motivated. And it's just really good to see that. I'm like, oh, yeah, see, there's all these people out there that really want to change, and they are working so hard for it. So,
oh, wow. Yeah.
There's Thomas, the founder of By the Ocean We Unite. He's a sailor. And, well, if you ever meet him, he's a sailor, and he loves to sail, and he's, like, really down to earth, and he's a really nice guy, but it's all about sailing for him. And so he went into this sailing boat that would travel around the world, and he came... Like, he was 12 days on the water. There was no land or whatsoever in sight. And there was this bottle floating there. And when he tells the story, he gets so touched by it that I'm like, yeah, I'm so intrigued that someone that is giving up his whole life, because he's been doing this for 2 years now voluntarily, and wow, he's giving up his whole life just because he got touched by something like a plastic bottle in the ocean. Well, that's, to me, is a role model.
Oh, that's amazing. And where do you kind of get your, I mean, obviously, like, you studied it, but when you have to, like, keep up to date with information and, like, learn about these different projects and stuff that's happening, where do you kind of, like, learn about new things and new information?
Well, yeah, I think that's, like, I can find research, of course, online. You have some websites that you get through your studies also. So now I'm just like always go there, and I can always get into this research.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I think with the whole plastic pollution fight, it's also all over the internet. So what we are just doing is we're just surveying it all and seeing what people are doing, and then trying to find out of if it's legit and if it's really working, and what their facts are, and where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is actually legit and yeah, straight, then we can actually put it out there as well. So then we try to update that and get it out in the world again, which is really interesting to me, because I always felt that research was sometimes a bit stuffy, and it would end up in the closet somewhere and it would be gone.
Yeah.
So I really like it that we now try to take it out of there and look at it and really make sure that it's concrete and it's good. And then we put the message, the actual message that they found, we put that out on. So yeah.
Awesome.
I really like that.
Yeah. And do you have any books or movies or other podcasts that you would recommend that people should watch or read so that they can learn more about this issue?
Very obviously is it the Blue Planet 2, of course. But also one of my role models is David Attenborough, but
yeah,
the Blue Planet 2 is definitely interesting. Our own movie is now out there. It's called Plastic Expedition Up to Norway by the Ocean We Unite. Well, I would just really like try to intrigue people by finding new ways of doing their habits, like getting a cup that is recyclable or getting a bag that is not from plastic, trying to not get your microfibers from your clothes into the drains and stuff like that. Like I would really, there's a lot of websites out there. For me, it's Ecomondo, but I think it's only in the Netherlands. So I'm sure that there are those websites also in the States for people to find.
Cool. Awesome. And I know you already kind of mentioned some of this, but what would be your three tips to someone who wants to live a more eco-friendly life or a more sustainable life?
Well, first of all, don't use single-use plastic. That's top one. Take a bag to the grocery stores. Also the little bags for like veggies and stuff. You can bring them yourself. Bring your own cup for your coffee. Don't get a lid when someone gives you like a coffee to go. Then say no to the lid because, well, who actually uses them? So that's definitely the first one. Like, stop using those single-use plastics. Second, I think for me is to change your way of looking at plastic. So don't see it as waste, but try to see it as something that you can reuse or someone else can reuse. Like, try to give everything you buy a second life or second motivator. And third, tell people about it. Like, when you're figuring out how to get rid of your single-use plastics, make sure that your friends also know about it. And yeah, give the message. Those are the three most important things.
Awesome. Do you have any favorite companies or, like, projects that you think people should follow because they're doing really great stuff? Like, obviously, your own project. But any other ones?
Yeah, definitely. So I know in the Netherlands we've got the Plastic Soup Foundation, and then of course By the Ocean We Unite. But things like the bubble barrier also very interesting. I know in Australia they have a sea bin, and it's an invention that sucks up plastic from the waters. Also very very interesting inventions.
Yeah. Have you done anything really crazy or out there in the name of nature or sustainability?
Well, I think that, like, when I'm on the sailing boat, it's the weather can get kind of crazy, and then I do everything to keep my samples safe. So I've been in like a very tiny shower, hanging upside down almost with my sample, like trying to figure out if everything is still in there. So I think that was the most crazy thing.
Oh my gosh. And where can people find you if they want to connect with you? How can people look you up?
Well, definitely on Facebook. So By the Ocean We Unite. And then I'm also on that Facebook page. And our website is www.bytheoceanweunite.org.
Cool. Awesome. And any last parting words before we retire the episode?
Well, I really like what you are doing and bringing everybody together that's working in a sustainable world. So thank you for having me here. And also, yeah, stop just using your single-use plastics.
Well, thanks so much, Rose.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I really like that Rose points out that even though we think we are disposing of our plastics correctly, our trash can be blown out of bins, pulled out by animals, or left next to a full bin where we expect someone else to take care of it. She said that 70% of the plastic that has been found in the oceans are single-use plastics, like straws and shopping bags. Hey, are you coming to our screening of Wasted on April 10th? We actually have a super special announcement to make. Jonathan Klassen, producer of Wasted, will be joining us for the event. He'll be around during the reception to meet everyone and answer questions that you might have about the film. If you weren't already convinced about joining us, I hope this really pushes you to come to the event. There's going to be so much good food and drink from Toast Ale, Proud Pour, Nomad Trading Company, Rescuing Leftover Cuisine, Onkuli, Rise Products, Aero Farms, Local Roots, Food for All, Eleva Coffee, T-Pix, and Bear Burger. There will be everything from sides that are rescued from different restaurants to freshly brewed coffee, brownie bite. We can't wait to see you there. Tickets are going to sell out, so get yours today. I promise it will more than pay for itself in the cool innovators you'll meet and the amazing things you'll get to taste. See you soon, Eco Warriors. Stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram @trashybeautyco.